From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast today, sunny and 94 degrees tonight, widespread haze and 62 for low. Saturday, record high heat expected, a high near 107 degrees. Also, excessive heat warning in effect for Saturday and Sunday. Sunday, mostly sunny and 101 degrees. Monday, sunny and 96. 75 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:36.
And by the way, DFPA already out on a couple fires west of Sutherland in the past hour near Fort McKay and Crouch Road, burning a combined total of 1 acre, caused there a downed power line.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, Friday. Thanks for being here. Doing another legislative check-in today, talking to State Representative Gary Leaf this time around. Gary, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle, it's great to be here. Good to be on your program. You know you're my favorite newscaster, and I always appreciate being on your program. So tell me, how are you going to deal with a 107-degree temperature tomorrow?
Oh, I'm going to absolutely love it. I'm looking forward to that, actually. I'm one of those rare people, apparently, around here. And speaking of things that have been hot lately, let's talk about the legislature.
Okay.
And the special session. Now, as I've told Senator Przanski and one of the other lawmakers earlier this week, Representative Hayden, I was actually pretty surprised that the session was done in one day. What about you?
It was a long day. It was 17 hours for me. I got in the building at 7, started doing work, and we didn't get out of there till just a half hour before midnight. You know, there was committee work going on. You're trying to keep care of committees. You've got lobbyists and other legislators that are trying to get a hold of you, talking about different bills. You're trying to keep track of things as they change. And literally, you know, we had bills that had, you know, just a couple of hours notice on their changes. So it was a little bit overwhelming. And to be honest with you, I actually asked our caucus leader to split it into 2 days, because after about 12 hours, you know, you're running on whatever adrenaline you have left, which isn't very much. You know, they said we would probably go till 2 o'clock in the morning. And so I guess we went for, you know, I guess it's been probably 20 years since we've had that long of a session. So it was a little overwhelming. You know, I think probably the most important thing for me is, and we're making decisions without any public input on it. And that's kind of difficult. You've probably seen quite a few articles that have been written from the Oregonian Live and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people aren't very happy about how the session happened.
What about the walking in there? I presume that you kind of walked in there knowing kind of what was on the docket, a lot of things essentially ready to go for that day.
Actually, we didn't. For me, anyways, my office is, we're looking at things that are going on. I mean, the committees were meeting that morning. So what came out of committees at 8 to 3 p.m., those changes were what we were voting on. So we kind of knew a little bit about what was going on. I mean, really, the bottom line is, look, we had $1.1 billion with a B cut that we had to make to our budget, you know, to end our 1920 budget. And so I guess it's a 2021, because we'll be going through halfway through the next year. But it was a real interesting, not knowing what was going on. There was some problems with the committees. And actually, I think we had 14 bills that were on the docket, and in one of the committees, it didn't pass, so we only actually ended up voting on 13. So when you say there was a lot of notice, no, we didn't have a lot of notice for a lot of things.
And do you feel like, though, the priorities were dealt with? You feel good about the changes that were made in the state budget allocations?
You know, I had to really look at balancing the need to cut spending with the livelihoods of our remote communities. I mean, that was my job. And my job was also maintaining jobs, you know, really for a humanitarian reason, to like keep our prisons open, which are just a little bit outside of my district, but still it was very important. So was I happy? You know, I was 50% happy and 50% unhappy. And let me give you a real overview. This is a 3,000 foot overview. One bill had 12 agency requests from the lottery dollars. So there were 12 different requests cutting 12 different agencies and adding some of those things. It was basically a cash flow balancing act. So on one of the bills, you know, we had those 12 different things. We liked half of them, but half of them we didn't like. So it wasn't like we could go into the session and say, yeah, I like this one, and no, I don't like this one, and I like these two. It was a yes or no. You either like this bill with the 12 agency additions or cuts, or you don't. And so, you know, on one hand, if you say, yeah, I like it, then you're going to make veterans mad because they lost a lot of funding. But if you vote no because of the veterans cut, then you've got, you know, six other agencies that are doing real good job with child advocacy groups and stuff like that. So was I happy? No, I wasn't real happy. And then add to that, where if you are a group, organization, or someone that's being cut, you can't even come in and tell us how that's going to affect you, because there's no input from the people.
Do you feel like too many of the cuts came out of human services?
No, not necessarily. I think that, you know, that was one of those things where it was an up or down vote. But like I said, you had to cut $1.1 billion. So you had to make those difficult decisions. And, you know, this is the precursor. This is the easy one, because in 2021, we're probably going to end up cutting between $5 and $7 billion. So with that, I hope that we open up the legislature to outside community input so we can actually understand how the community feels about this. So I'll give you one example, which was the Port Orford. They were looking at cutting, I think it was $1.6 million that they had promised to give Port Orford. But Port Orford, with that cut, just lost $13 million in federal monies coming in. So it sounds like, well, we only cut at $1.6 million, but they lost really almost $15 million in that cut. No community input. If the legislator knows how to explain that, that's the only way that they'll understand that. And so, you know, the other thing was prisons. You know, there's two big prisons over at the coast, Lakeview and Shutter Creek, and there's a lot of jobs in those, you know, in those prisons, and there's a lot of jobs that depend on those jobs as well. So you're talking about a lot of jobs in an industry that hasn't recovered from fishing. It hasn't recovered from the 1980s SNL, you know, debacle. It hasn't recovered from the 2008, you know, recession. And now you've got the COVID recession. So, you know, there's so many different areas in here that are impacted by a long-term, you know, economy.
A lot of cuts have been announced either through the legislative action or other ways in the past couple of weeks. One of those as well was, at this point, the $10 million for the veterans facility here in the Roseburg area.
Yeah, it's about $16 million right now. And, you know, we are going to, you know, talk with Senator Hurd and Representative Brock Smith. We are going to work really hard to try and fund that in the 21-22 session. Now, they wouldn't even be able to start getting federal monies until that time anyway. So it's going to be an interesting ask, but we're, you know, we still promise that that's going to be a very big priority on our list.
And as you said, during this time, there are a lot of needs, yet the, just like balancing your household budget when the income goes down, especially by this much of an amount, sometimes you have to take what seem like kind of drastic actions.
Yeah, and I've told you before in the past, my biggest complaint right now, the most emails that I get is on the unemployment debacle. I am now into the thousands of people that I've helped. You know, I was pretty happy and being successful into the hundreds, but now we're into the thousands. And we need to fix that. You know, they just allotted $35 million to give $500 to each individual that hadn't received their unemployment. Well, I would have rather take that $35 million and give them their 13 weeks of unemployment that they haven't received yet. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of interesting times right now.
And some people also report, you know, filing, getting no response for quite a while, and then suddenly getting, you know, weeks and weeks worth of checks all at once.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and when we first started helping people, you know, we have back doors as legislators, so we kind of get through all of the bureaucracy and get folks help. We would get help in 2 to 3 days to people. And all of the sudden, it was about 2 weeks ago that we were told now it's 3 weeks that they're backlogged from the backdoor legislators. So imagine if you're trying to get through on a phone. And I've literally talked with people who've said, I called 100 times in a day and I still couldn't get through. These people are trying to feed their families. They're trying to pay their rent or their mortgages. Come on, folks. We need to fix this problem.
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with State Representative Gary Leaf. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1248. Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, presented by Concrete Builders Supply. For the contractor and the do-it-yourselfer, go to ConcreteBuildersSupply.com. It's 12:51. Lars Larson coming at 1 o'clock. And State Representative Gary Leaf on with us now, talking about the recent session of the Oregon State Legislature, the one-day special session. But Gary, I'm also hearing that legislative days may be paired with yet another special session in September. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing. We don't, you know, this last session, we got 10 days notice. So I think the special session before was, again, 10 days notice. So we really don't know until right before. It would be kind of nice to kind of see this, you know, hey, in 3 weeks we're going to go. Because we all have to make, you know, motel reservations or RV reservations. And so when you get that at the last minute, it's kind of difficult for some people. And when you don't know how long the session's going to be, too, or exactly what's coming out of the committees, it's kind of difficult.
Have you heard what the topics might be for the next special session?
It's more funding, balancing, rebalancing is what I'm understanding right now. So I have yet to see exactly what those are going to be, but that's what I'm hearing.
What about committees that you're on? Talk about some of the recent committee meetings you've been involved with.
I'm on great committees right now. So I'm on human resources. So that's like overview with DHS, CHD, you know, those kinds of things, which, you know, they're taking some pretty enormous cuts right now. And so we're trying to deal with that. But, you know, also I'm on two ways and means subcommittees. One is a department, is Transportation, Department of Transportation. And it encompasses a lot of things. OLCC, there's a lottery, there's a whole bunch of stuff that encompasses. And then public safety is a huge thing for me. As a matter of fact, this morning I sat down with Joe Garcia to talk about legislation that I may propose in the 21 session, you know, to do with mental illness and homelessness. And Joe's a great guy. He's the director of community corrections. He's paid from the state. He works with the DA, the county commissioner, and the cities around here. And we're trying to, my staff and I met with him to try and figure out if we can kind of help on the homelessness housing issues and what impediments are happening with current legislation and or lack of legislation. So I'm real happy to look at that. During this session, you know, we also looked at new rules to raise the professionalism in law enforcement. And so we have Representative Ron Noble from McMinnville, who is a former police chief, who kind of helped on that. And so we actually passed new legislation to kind of help law enforcement, which he said was long overdue, given the high court ruling. So those are other things that we're working with, not only in my committees, but also outside of my committees.
And what about the committee or subcommittee, can't remember, related to water?
Oh yeah, I'm the vice chair of the Water Committee. Yeah, which is a huge topic right now because, you know, we are looking at parts in the state of Oregon where they're literally starting to run out of water, and Rep Owens, he's from Harney County over there, is proposing a great idea to get all of the producers. Rather than to be legislatively cut on their water, to actually all agree that they would cut 3% each year over 10 years, which would actually amount to about a 50% reduction in the use of water, rather than coming in with a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of red tape that says, you know, you're cut XYZ right now. So they're doing this on their own, and the Water Committee is commending things like that, because we're not going to have a lot of water money to actually be able to go out and get the data to do that. The other thing in my Water Committee, which I had proposed in the last session, the short session, was to come up with money for a sewer septic grant program. So let's say you have a house that's, you know, 30, 40 years old, and you have a septic system in there, and you're low income, and it fails. What do? You keep flushing the toilet. You know it's failing. Well, this grant program that's been in effect, I think, now for 4 years, would allow people to apply for that grant and not pay it back except for over a 15-year period. A sewer, septic sewer, could cost $20,000. It's a great program. We actually had money allocated to it, but that kind of all ended with the short session. So I'm hoping we'll go back in the long session and be able to get that approved. But, you know, if we're cutting $5 billion out of the budget in 21, things are going to be really tough.
All right, out of time for now. State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, that went fast. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day and stay cool.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.